Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Beautiful soul unicorns.
No.
Nope.
It's Stephanie, the life architect.
Oh, hell no.
How about new?
No.
Hell no.
Hashtag ISN pod.
Beautiful souls, welcome back to the latest episode of the I Said No podcast. I am happy to be here with you. Life is lifing, but guess what? God be Godin. And either way, we are okay. If you are under the sound of my voice, you are alive, and I'm grateful that you are. So let's get straight into this episode. I want you to give it up for my guy, your guy, the guy, Denny Blanco.
I am back.
He is back. Welcome, my brother.
I want to thank you for inviting me back. It's been a long time coming. And I'm excited to talk about some things today.
Yeah, today is just going to be us talking and shooting the shit like we always do. There are no set topics today. I just asked Denny if he had free time to record, and he said, okay, so here we are. So we're glad that you pressed play. Babe, the world almost fell apart last week.
Why?
There was an earthquake.
5 seconds.
Do you want to tell the story of the earthquake, or should we just move on?
The story of the earthquake. There was a story of the earthquake? I mean, I missed it. I wasn't there. I missed it.
See, Denny was out at work while the 4.7 or 4.8, depending 4.8. On what platform you reviewed it on, there was a point differential that I noticed.
4.8
on the Richter scale earthquake in the New Jersey, some of New York, I believe Philly as well.
Yeah, it's pretty much Tri-state area down to Philly.
Boston? No?
A little DC? Bit. Not too far up to Boston. But, I mean, there's a lot of people on the eastern, northeast side from Philly upwards up until a little bit of Boston who said they felt it, so.
And you did not, correct?
Yeah, I wasn't the only one. There's some people that didn't feel it either. It happened real fast, 5 seconds.
5 to 10 seconds, again, depending on your reporting source.
Depending on your source, correct.
Mm-hmm. All I know.
East Coast was 5 seconds.
All I know is that I thought I either had Parkinson's disease. Did I say that right? Parkinson's disease, vertigo, and or any issue internally that caused me to get dizzy and or vibrate. That's what I thought was happening to me.
It was a aftershock that came later on in the day. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that I can see why. I can see why people.
No, let me go back. I was making bacon in the air fryer at 10:23 a.m. while working remotely from home with my 9-to-5 job. And it was only the cat and I home while Denny was at work. And as I was putting my next piece of bacon in my preheated tray on my Ninja air fryer,
delicious.
All hell broke loose.
Delicious.
And if you have a pet, you know, big purr to the cats and dogs, because the animals will tell you, Denny. You know that animals will give you a clue as to what's going on in the world. And if you don't know, you better ask somebody.
A lot of confusion with the because they're looking at you for answers and you're looking at them for answers. And they're like, well, we don't have any answers for you, so we're going to run.
Yes, they're looking at you for answers, but they will alert you to danger before the danger is even close enough for your human eye, ear, nose, brain to comprehend. So his tail, Dashiell Robert Parr, is our cat's name. Dash's tail puffed up and he did that ninja hind leg thing that cats do when they're scared, and his body arched and he paused, to your point, and turned around and looked at me like, bitch, do something.
Do something.
And I'm like, do something to what?
Stop the shaking.
I mean, I didn't even know what the shaking was. I thought there was construction happening in front of our complex. I thought, again, that I was sick and I was shaking, not the world in my complex building was shaking. So I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I run to the window and everything looks so peaceful and calm outside. And again, a few seconds it lasted, but it was very scary once I calmed down and realized what did happen. Long story short, short story long, my nervous system is fucking shot.
Need a reset of the nervous system prior to the earthquake so you could just understand. And these LA folks walking around with earthquakes that they've dealt with for a couple of years. I'm sure they're just like, they get an earthquake and they just keep it pushing.
Yeah, but we have it. And I want people to understand that if you haven't experienced something that other people have and they're accustomed to, you're allowed to feel what you feel about it. One thing that annoyed me with this whole, like, y'all calm down, it ain't that serious, is that you dismiss people's feelings who are not accustomed to the jarring moments that you are. I've never experienced an earthquake. So whether it was 5 seconds, 10 seconds, or 1 second, go suck your mother. Jeez, <wow. laughs> Don't tell me that I'm overreacting to the world shaking beneath my feet, because it never happened to me before, and I'm allowed to be scared.
I mean, what you jumping for? I mean, it's just the earth shaking, and we don't know when it's going to stop, and you don't have your balance. What's the big deal?
Because you were very much dismissive as well. I text him like, are you okay? Did you feel it? He's like, feel what? What are you talking about? I'm like, there was an earthquake.
In order to be dismissive, I would have to have known and felt what was happening.
Oh, I'm not finished where the dismiss came in. You said, hey, I'm online. They're going crazy. I think you said you spoke to your brother and he asked you the same thing. Like, did you feel anything? And he also felt it and you didn't. When you came home, after I text you like, oh my God, I'm about to cry. Dash was scared. When you came home, I'm like, let me show you what happened, what I was doing. You were like, it was only 5 seconds, yo. 5 seconds, yo.
I said, Wait, what was the quote?
It was only 5 seconds, yo.
Not what was said.
What was said?
Not what was said.
Tell me. Tell them. Tell the world. Tell the I Said No audience.
The news said it was 5 seconds. That was a quote.
I humbly eat my words. I am sorry for misquoting you and not bringing in the news. The question was,
did you feel it, Dennis?
Yes.
I said no.
Yes.
And then I said the news said it was 5 seconds. So yes. After 5 seconds, if I didn't feel it, I don't know what you're talking about. That's what I said.
Okay. Again, if I misquoted you, not if I, because I misquoted you, you didn't even let me finish my apology. I am sorry for misquoting you. And I want you to know that our discussion throughout the entire day, whether I misquoted you or not, we ended up having a discussion the next morning about when you don't experience things yourself, you're very cavalier about it. Like, did it even happen? Because where the dismissive tone for me really came in is when you went into conspiracy theory mode and said, well, if it's really a earthquake, we don't know. The government and this and that, this is what they can be telling us. And I'm here telling you that my nervous system is shot. I feel all out of sorts. I am scared. And all you wanted to do was talk about, well, I don't even think it's real yet. They said 5 seconds. It is what it is. So that's where my whole you were dismissive came from. Did we not have that conversation?
Yeah, we had the conversation. Sometimes you just got to read the room, and sometimes I'm bad at that. So
you ain't alone, my brother.
So yeah, mistakes will be made. And when there's a panic moment, just act like you panic too.
Oh, see?
Did you feel that? Like, sometimes I feel like, therapy moment,
sometimes I feel like
if I don't panic, like everyone around me,
yes,
I'm being called
dismissive.
X.
Yeah.
So pick your word: dismissive, not caring, unemotional, robot. And which is interesting because it's a conversation of don't dismiss someone's feelings that they experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, I'm not judging. I'm saying someone asked me if I felt it. I'm like, no, I don't. And then a conversation of, yeah, it's an earthquake. I'll just read the room, look at it, and just say, I don't need to say anything. Just say, oh, this happened. Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. Okay. And just keep it moving. When once you start asking me how I feel, what did I experience? And then I say something, it's just like, he's dismissive. I'm like, why ask me then? Why even ask me?
Thank you for sharing that. I don't feel as if you understand the difference between sympathy and empathy that I'm asking you to display. I'm not trying to get you to panic like I am panicking. I can only speak for me and you. And I do understand that we are different creatures. And the rumor is that you're supposed to be a more logical creature than me as a woman. And in many cases, that is true. Over the 20-year relationship we've had, you definitely are someone who is less emotional and more keen to having a logical approach to things. However, I do not believe that just because I tell you at times you are dismissive and or do not understand where I'm coming from is because you're leading with your logical side and you have minimal experience with your emotional compassionate side. This is something we've talked about in and out of therapy for years. And it's not just you as a man, it's you and also your upbringing. So I'm confused as to why it has to be that you are being told that you have to panic or act like others versus saying, you know what, maybe I need to understand empathy and sympathy a little bit more.
No, yeah, listen, resetting the whole entire situation. I opened the door. You already experienced what you experienced. You say exactly what you say. Did you feel that? My answer would still be the same. No.
I'm not talking about that. I also think you're conflating the whole thing together. If you didn't experience something, you didn't feel it, that's fine. I can't force you to feel an earthquake that didn't happen for you.
100%.
After you got home 100%. And I'm telling you how it's affecting me. And right. I'm like, hey, I would actually like a hug. Like, I'm scared. What did I tell you? I said, I thought I wasn't going to see you again.
Yeah, I was.
And you were like, eh.
Yeah, I was resetting the whole entire scenario. So I would have came in. You would have asked me, did you feel that? I would have said no. And then I would have said, are you okay?
Right.
Minus the seconds, minus what I think, minus the conspiracy. Strict to, are you okay? Then give you the opportune to say yay.
Or nay.
Or nay.
Right.
And then move forward from there. That's it.
Yeah.
Simple and plain. Nothing too drastic to go further. If there is an emotional connection that I missed, in a scenario that's brought to my attention, I can analyze it, understand it, and do what's needed next time. So it's not this kind of tension, if you will.
Tension now or then?
No.
I don't have
no.
any tension.
No, then.
Then. It was definitely tension because I told Denny I didn't feel emotionally sound and safe with his response. And I didn't feel that I was extended any empathy, which is showing someone how much compassion and understanding you have for someone else. And it has nothing to do with you actually experiencing things yourself. And I will take it off Denny and I and say, I think that's one of the issues with the world. We lack empathy for other people. We are online constantly telling people what we would do in situations we have yet to experience and or in situations we haven't experienced in decades. Let me give you an example, Denny. Many of our parents that are our age, if you're a millennial later in life, your parents are older. Your mm-hmm. parents are in their 60s mm-hmm. and up. Your parents will tell you or their grandchildren, if you have kids as a millennial, that they understand what you feel as a child when they haven't been a child in 50 plus years.
Right.
There is no empathy for someone's experience today for the parents of yesterday.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes 100%
sense. So that's what I mean about empathy, where it's just like either I didn't experience it, so let me tell you what I should do from a space of no education and no information, and or there's no empathy. Let me tell you what you should do based on something I haven't tasted in over 3, 4, 5, 6 decades. So where does that leave us? Discord.
Old Denny would have pushed back and just told you were crazy. I repeat, old Denny would have just pushed back and said you were crazy, like nothing happened. You see we're walking. You see we're healthy. You see your cat strolling by with all four fours mm-hmm. seductively. Everything is okay.
Yes.
But Denny that went through therapy, Denny that realized it's not just always about you. The new Denny is open to giving people what they need.
I agree with that. And I applaud you for that. Insert applause.
Applause here.
Yes, I agree with you. Who you were would have led us down a negative path for more than just a few hours of an earthquake. And I would have blamed my reaction to your reaction of the initial action of the earthquake.
Hurricane. No, it was a hurricane. It was. It was a hurricane. And we're going to stick with that.
I would have blamed my reaction.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this goddamn sentence out. Peter Piper picked the pepper.
Don't edit it either.
I'm not. I'm leaving all this in. I would have blamed my reaction of your reaction to the action of the earthquake Yay! Applaud me.
Applaud her.
I would have blamed my reaction to all of that on you instead of understanding that I am in control of how I respond if I respond. I would have blamed my feelings as to why I am lashing out on you or most likely weaponizing the silent treatment after I blew up. Because, you know, that was my greatest hits. I'm going to light your ass up and assassinate your character. And we going to go to war. And then I'm going to shut down.
Like a true robot that
I'm
she is.
I'm going to
that
shut down.
Runs out of a battery. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm going to shut down. And we are going to be on icy, treacherous in icy, treacherous territory for a while. So I do agree we have both grown leaps and bounds.
Salute the new you.
Salute the new you, my nigga. Salute the new you.
Bow, bow, bow.
Salute the new both of us. That's just maturity. And that's also you not taking it personal that someone is asking you to level up on your skill set instead of change who you are. Can we stay there for a second?
Sure.
One of the issues in relationships, in addition to empathy lacking in the world, is I feel like when people call someone up and ask them and share with them how they feel that they can make themselves better and or the relationship better by making themselves better, people get offended and take that as you are trying to erase who I am and make me and mold me into something else. And I hear that from men a lot. And there was a point that you would say things like that as well and feel that from me. But I think your development got you to a point where you realize, especially with a sports background, you realize it wasn't about changing who you are. It was about developing a skill set that you either didn't have or didn't have to the capacity that was needed for a healthy relationship. What do you say about that?
Yeah, it was a conversation. A lot of men have that issue you mentioned, but what I heard in therapy was the phrase, you know, Danny, was that the best answer to the question? And I'm like,
was that the best answer or the best action?
Best answer? And I'm just like,
was it?
Was that the best that I?
Is that the best you could have given at that?
And
moment?
Then I had to sit and think, and I'm just like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble because I can't say that's the best.
Yeah,
and I can't say, well, that's all you're gonna get.
Yeah,
and a lot of the times, that's what, unfortunately, being called up. The actual phrase being called up, I don't want to broad stroke it and say, you know, call up is you constructively in a safe environment saying, hey, I think you could have said this to me a little bit better. I think you could have done this a little bit better. And a lot of the times those black men are feeling, mm-hmm. not fact, feeling that they're being yelled at. So maybe they are being yelled at. Maybe they're not. And it's a actual trauma that they've dealt with in the past that they makes them feel that they're being yelled at.
And or being just hard-headed.
Or just being hard-headed. Just by someone just asking, hey, I would much rather you do this.
Than that.
Yeah. So for me, when it comes to growth, when it comes to maturity, I didn't want to sit back and be like, oh, well, someone challenged me to be better. Someone challenged me knowing that I could be better.
Wanting you to be better.
Wanting me to be better. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, I'm good.
It's the wanting for me. Like, someone loves you enough to be like, hey, there's either a character flaw I see or a skill gap that can be enhanced. And I believe that that would be an asset for you.
I think you can read a little bit. Read. Read. Bitch wants me to be fucking Elon Musk. She Ooh, wants me to
that's
read.
That's the worst example, Elon Musk. Nobody wants you to be no Elon Musk, but people sometimes see in you what you can't see in yourself. And a lot of times people see you being your own obstacle, you being in your way more than anything or anyone else you're blaming for being in your way. Mm-hmm. And let me quickly go back to something you just said. A lot of us want to blame trauma that we actually don't even have to allow us to continue poor behavior that we've become accustomed to. Mm-hmm. Not every man and woman has trauma.
Okay.
Some people have pain. Sure. Some people have had discomfort.
Sure.
A lot of people, thanks to the healing, quote unquote, bunny ears due to social media, right? We have pop self-help. right? Everyone wants to have a pop culture phrase, and now everyone is traumatized, and everyone is a narcissist, and everyone this and that. No, no, no. Sometimes it's just discomfort and or pain. Pain and trauma are two different things. We can have a whole episode about that at another time, right? So that's why I jumped in when you said, oh, maybe due to their trauma, they think that you're yelling at them or they can't hear you. Sometimes people are just fucking hard-headed. Sometimes people think that they're the victim in every situation. And this happens a lot in relationships, not just sexual, but in siblings, in coworkers, in friend circles, with your parents. It's just like you can never be constructed. You can never be given criticism. It's always them and not you. So you have to decide when someone is calling you up, who this person is, why would this person do this and say this to you? What is the intention? Do they want better for me?
They're a hater and they want to control me and I will not have it all.
You say, no, you got to get deep in your accent. If you're going to do it, get deep. Get deep for them.
Mm-mm. All right.
Get deep for them.
3 second. 3 second pause.
One, two. Three.
It is a sickness.
Hey.
My brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters in Christ, please understand me when I tell you, it is a sickness when you think about yourself and only yourself.
Hey.
Think about your partner.
Your partner.
And see.
Wow. The pressure is getting West.
Applaud this man.
Listen, I was in the background of Black Panther. You probably didn't see me. I was right in the corner, just shaking the pom poms when you know King T'Challa was getting stepped to by M'Baku.
M'Baku.
So, yeah. So but yeah,
we'll close this segment or this part of the discussion with the reality that there. Let me say this. Turn me up real loud. Get me clear in those AirPods. Turn up my volume. Get your pen and take a quick note because we're going to put a pin in this and come back. And I need a special guest for this. I'm not sure who. When we dive into this topic, I already touched on it, but we're going to close out with this. There is a difference between a character flaw and a skill gap.
Say it again.
There is a difference between a character flaw and a skill gap. Not everybody who is asking you to be better is telling you that you are a flawed person, that you are a nasty person, that you need to work on your internal self, that you have to change your core being. It could just be that there is a skill shortage that you just need a slight tweaking on. And you're so busy being offended that you can't even see between your offense and reality. So not everybody's saying that you have a character flaw. Check that, clock that, and get into it.
You think LeBron James didn't improve his game over a period of time? He's been in the league for over 20 years. You think some coaches were like, I think you need to add that. He was like, fuck you.
Right.
I'm LeBron James, nigga. Who do you think you're talking to? Or even Kobe. Or even any of you. Jordan.
Anybody.
Even, you know.
Someone said, hey, you do this, but you can do this better. You need to be in the gym a little more and work on that jump shot. That's not a character flaw. That's a skill set that's underdeveloped. Your skill sets can be underdeveloped and someone sees the potential for them to be developed. And no one said they have to be 100% and perfect. It can just be like, let's take this jump shot from this percentage to that percentage.
You're tweaking it.
Because it adds value to your team for the game in the long run. Don't you want to win at the championship of life? If not, stop complaining when people who you claim love you and you love them back tell you that you need to work on your skill set. Again, clock that T.
Bars.
Moving right along. Mm. So you and I both discussed our girl, Glorilla? Do you like Glow the way I like her?
I like me some Glow.
Yeah, Glow. Get him Glow. Yeah, that's like how they say it, right? That's the song?
I'm not familiar with the song, to be honest with you. I love her personality. I love her accent.
I like Glow too.
I just like her personality.
I do. I feel like she is very likable, very sweet.
Yeah, very sweet.
I love how she is willing to just show us the joy that she's experiencing right now. She looks like she likes life at the moment. And of course, I would too, based on the come up that she candidly discusses, which is what I want to get into. So tell me why you asked me to watch the interview or clips of the interview with her and Uncle Shannon.
Uncle Shannon had her on, and AKA Uncle Shannon, AKA the new Arsenio Hall.
Disrespect.
The new Arsenio Hall for this generation.
Absolutely not. Arsenio Hall?
Do your Googles. Arsenio Hall was a talk show host.
Yeah, but he's a legend.
At the time, there were no black talk show hosts at all. There was Jay Leno, David Letterman.
Yep.
There was nothing. Nothing marketed to us, the blacks, correct?
Yep.
And Arsenio came and ushered in hip hop, ushered in black entertainment.
Yep.
Mike Tyson, yes. your Rosie Houston. Perez, your Whitney Houston, your Bobby Brown, your Tupac, your Biggie.
Didn't Bill Clinton play
the sax on? There you go, Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. So I say Arsenio Hall for this generation because this generation doesn't have a talk show or an actual entertainment
you
location.
You mean a black male-led talk show? They have talk shows.
Pick it up.
No, you pick it up. No, nigga. He still ain't no goddamn Arsenio.
That's fine, but you're picking up what I'm dropping. Yes, black man leading a show where all types of entertainment, actors, comedians, sports stars go there.
Are flocking to.
Go there.
Yep.
If you can name currently another location like Club Shay Shay where people are actually flocking to him, sorry, but obviously Catwoman.
Club Shay Shay is such a name. I cannot.
Club Shay Shay. Like you name another show that all these blacks are flocking to.
Yeah,
and
you
then
can't.
And then I'll fall, you know, fall correct with
no,
the Arsenio
I agree Hall. With you. I just think calling him Arsenio is a That's bit okay. disrespectful, but you're right. There is nothing else right now led by a black male. Yes, continue.
Okay, so where was I before I got sidetracked?
You said he had Glow on the show.
Glow's on the show.
Yeah,
and
Glow.
Yeah, get a Glow. And Glow's, you know, basically explaining how, you know, how she grew up. He asked yes. her how she grew up, and she stated that, you know, she didn't know. Was it air mattresses? She didn't know everybody didn't have air mattresses.
Yes. She said for 15 years, from her birth to age 15, the first time she slept on an actual bed was when she was 15 and went to live with her dad, who was living in a hotel.
Mm.
And of course, hotels have beds. Prior to her going to move with her dad in the hotel, she and her siblings had only ever slept on air mattresses and the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've ever had an air mattress, and she described this as well, you know that if it's your main mattress, it can get a hole and they leak air. So there were times that she had to sleep on the floor with her siblings because they had to wait for their dad to come with tape or something to patch it up and see if you can blow it up again. And even if you do patch up an air mattress, similar to a tire, if you don't replace it, it's going to leak slowly, and then you're going to be back on the floor again. So Glorilla is currently 24 years old. That means out of 24 years, she's only had a bed for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up this topic, not to focus solely on Glow, which I appreciate her candor, her transparency. And again, I just love watching this girl shine. I wanted to bring this up because I don't like the fact that people, adults, who cannot afford kids, choose to continuously have children and raise children. I'm about to set it off. I know. Take a deep breath.
The views expressed in this part of the Stephanie,
I said no.
I said no. The Stephanie Life Architect Show.
I said what I said.
The views expressed are strictly the host and the host.
Yes, they're all mine. We need to address the big pink elephant in the goddamn room. In the room. Bring them on out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Swizzy, we need to talk about the big pink elephant in the room. One thing that gets in my crawl is when someone lacks the accountability, the awareness, the help me fill in the words, the blank here, people listening.
Nah, you started with the great word accountability.
I know that's your favorite.
Woo!
Oh Lord, this man love him some accountability.
Oh woo!
Yeah. Woo!
I love music.
When you woo.
Yeah, accountability and
we so be on our Bobby and Whitney with the digressions.
Accountability, understanding.
Yes,
awareness.
It starts with awareness when you're aware
logic.
Aware of what you have and what you don't to pass on to a generation. And the interview got such great, as it should, got such great feedback and responses. And one of the main responses, which I was happy to see, was people talking about that 15-year span of where Glow shares about the air mattresses. And then she said, you know, she always wanted to do sleepovers, either go to people's house or have people come to her house. And she always thought her mom was being mean. She never understood why she wasn't allowed to have sleepovers and never allowed to go to sleepovers. But she didn't know that the roaches and rats situation was something her mom was protecting her from being embarrassed about. So if you grew up with roaches and rats, you know that don't nobody want to even participate in no goddamn creepy crawlers, especially if you damn near sleeping on the floor. Like, that's their territory. That's their domain, right? You not on the bed lifted up where they got to crawl up and come get you.
They right with you head to head.
They right with you. They like move over. Like you get in the top or the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. Her mom didn't want her to be embarrassed by having her friends over and seeing that or experiencing that. And of course, running their mouth with that when Glo goes to school. And I do believe that the mother was wise enough to say, I don't want you going to someone else's house. Not because you will get to experience what I can't afford for you. But also, if you know anything about roaches, Denny, you know that you can take roaches to other people's homes. You sure. know that a lot of people who sure. have infestations.
Infestations.
I can't say the word.
I'm sorry.
Infestations. There you go. Mm-hmm. You know that infestations can travel.
Yeah, sure.
And ain't nothing like having a roach in your book bag, your little knapsack, and they lay an egg in somebody else's house.
Whoops.
So her mom was adamant about not allowing sleepovers, and she didn't understand why, and now she does. And with all the positive things in that video that I highlighted and love and so much more that we didn't get a chance to highlight, we have to have the discussion, Denny, of our people as to why we keep procreating and we can't afford to do so.
I don't have the answer. We've had this conversation for about 20 years now.
Yes, it's just not on
like,
the mic.
It's not like it's we haven't had this conversation. Yeah. We've gone back and forth. Is it about knowledge? Is it about you just wanting a baby to for attention, for
to love,
for companionship? Mm. Those are all questions that I'm asking. I'm not saying those are the answers. I'm just saying, is it that? And only those folks that are, you know, it's one thing to be one baby in by yourself.
Right. One baby, you understand the financial stress that it puts on you and you stop.
But seven.
But we talk about
six, seven.
Five. Now, we're not talking about Glo specifically. We've moved off Glo and just in general, just in the black and brown community. Mm-hmm. We can only speak for the communities that mm-hmm. we've been in and are in. And I know for a fact, I grew up also in poverty and on food stamps. My mama stopped that too and said, I'm good, right? It was just me and Hype for a very, very long time. However, in our neighborhood, and Hype can attest, there were people that were Hype's age, my age, and I'm talking about 13, 14, responsible for 3, 4, and 5 siblings that were like second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And I'm like, oh my God, when I think about it, the dudes on our blocks, the girls on our blocks were responsible as young adult parents mm-hmm. for children. And they were children themselves, but they had nothing.
1900s, there was a family, they were army. It's like about six of them. Six brothers and sisters, if they didn't make it to breakfast, public school breakfast and public school lunch, they didn't eat.
What's 1900?
Raised in the 1900s, 1999, 1998.
Oh no, I'm about to pass out. Good Jesus.
The 1900s.
I'm thinking you talk about Roman eras, like 1900s. You talk about the 90s. Yeah, y'all better put respect on 1990 only being 30 years ago, and I will not take any to people.
2000s, yeah. I was raised in 2000, raised
child,
in the 1900s.
I'm old. I'm like
right?
the 1900s. The blood of Jesus.
Yeah, 1999.
99 and the 2000s.
The 2000s.
Yes, in the 90s. Yes, you're right. 90s, 80s. I mean, if you've watched any hood movie, hood classic, where you realize, oh my God, these kids were very young doing adult things, trying to survive in the street. You watch Boys in the Hood, you watch Juice, you watch anything that we consider a cult classic, Menace to Society. These were babies in the streets trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents because there was nothing.
Menace to Society came, was raised by his grandparents.
Yes.
No mother or father.
Yes.
Then you go to Old Dog, he didn't have nobody in his life.
No.
You go to Boys to Men, obviously.
Boys to Men, end of the road.
Boys to Men.
We belong. Together.
Boys in the Hood. you go to Boys in the Hood, and yes. obviously
Lawrence Fishburne came in.
You know, obviously Trey had
his dad. That he had to be basically
Doe,
yeah.
And obviously another conversation for a different day.
Everyone else in there have no daddy.
Nobody had a daddy, but the second family, Doe and Ricky.
Yeah.
You see the dynamic that was created by having two siblings.
Right.
One you liked, one you didn't like.
Ooh,
as child. A mother.
One you despise.
And one you pour all your love into, and then obviously he becomes a flower. Then one you pour all your hate into, and he becomes what he becomes. So it goes down a whole different pathway when it comes to adding more children.
Yeah.
To your
already
household.
Overloaded household.
You don't have the bandwidth. You don't have the energy.
You don't have the skill set. We were talking about skills, right?
Well, you skill set. And you mentioned, too, this is going all over the place, but it's a good conversation.
This is why I said it's a random episode. Yeah, go anywhere you want to go.
So there was a conversation about cooking. and
a skill set,
cooking, and women, some women, this generation, millennials, not cooking. And the conversation went to, you think your mothers always wanted to cook?
No. Oh, please don't get me started. Hell no. They didn't always want to cook or clean.
Right. That was the kind. It's like, talk to your parents. And I had an opportunity to talk to my mom, and it was like, yeah, so,
yep.
You know, yep. Did you have it? Friends. Hanging out.
What's that? Joy.
Joy.
Yes.
Happy.
Oh my God. Talking to your mom brings me so much joy and also hurts me at the same time.
Because she's so real.
She's so raw and so real about womanhood and feminism and patriarchy and traditions and culture from Ghana to here, because she's experienced both lives, right? Mm-hmm. And it hurts me that she says exactly stuff like you're saying, when I'm just like, well, no, you know, it's important for me that I make myself a priority. And she goes, a priority? What's that? And she's not joking.
No, she's dead serious.
She's dead serious. And I'm like, well, you didn't enjoy yourself at all in motherhood. And she's just like, enjoyment. Why would I even put that in the equation? And I'm like, God damn, bitch, what? But she's serious, and she's not, of course, all doom and gloom, but she's just very candid about, there was a mission and she had to complete it every day. It wasn't about joy and pleasure. You guys had to eat, you had to be bathed, you had to go to university, school, education, all of you had to graduate college, you all had to have, you know, certain things. So everything she did was aligned with the goal for those certain things at her expense. It didn't matter. And it also dawned on me that that's why her generation, the generation before her and after her, don't like younger women, because I get to do, and I come in all bopping like, please, yes, son, could make me a plate. And she looking at you like, is that right? Because she didn't have that option. So sometimes it's admiration, and other times, from older generation to the current modern day woman, it's definitely disdain.
Yeah, it's so literally, just to go back to the original point, yes, of
having children you can't afford.
There really isn't a why, answer to the why we're doing it as a Black community, and I'm just speaking for the Black community, right?
That's all you can speak on.
Yeah, we're doing it as a Black community. It's bothered me for over 20 years. I've had conversations with you. I specifically do not have a child because my bandwidth financially, emotionally, spiritually, I know for a fact I can't pour into
a child.
I have difficulties, depending on the week and the month, pouring into my wife. What in God's name makes you think that I'd be able to pour into my wife?
And say that again.
A child that's literally crying and needs to be fed and needs to be clothed and needs to be taken to babysitters
and sent to university
goddamn universities. Yeah, no. So, but I've accepted that. And then a lot of people,
you chose to honor your current bandwidth.
Chose to honor it. And don't get me wrong. Have there been people, couples who have
stretched? Yes. And grew.
Who have grown.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. Who have grown into parenthood and have been awesome. Yes.
Absolutely. And there are some who haven't been awesome, but they've done enough where the child is developed and became a productive member of society.
Exactly.
I do agree with you. I chose not to be a mom as well because I did not want to stretch. It's not that I don't think I would be an amazing mom. I don't want to stretch that skill set.
The bandwidth, not there. It's not there. I don't want to stretch it. It's not there.
I'm not even going to, for me, I can't say it's not there. I just don't want to.
Oh, okay, want. Yeah.
It is there for temporary purposes as an aunt, right? It's there for other children on a short-term basis. I don't want to do that every day. And when I realized I didn't have to, I stuck to it. I don't think that if you and I chose to have a baby, our baby wouldn't have as much as we can offer. I think both of us would develop whatever skill set, especially with our past pain and discomfort with childhood and some of our traumas. I do think we would have done our very best past what normal parents consider the best, not just clothing you and feeding you and sending you to university. I think we would have poured emotionally into our child in a better way that was poured into us.
Oh, absolutely.
I just don't want to.
Yeah, it's you saying differently too, pour differently into the child, like even Bill Burr having a conversation on the Breakfast Club and him saying, you know, in his specials, he talks about his dad and his experiences and no fun police. And it's like, fun, shut up. There's no fun here.
They don't know what fun is.
So just like five years old. So he's just like, his kid came to him and was just like, Daddy, are you over being mad now? And he's looking at the kid like, yes, I'm over being.
Yeah,
yes.
Let that shit go.
But then he's just like, I would never be able to say that to my dad.
No,
like, I would
get that. But the fact that you weren't able to say it, but you're able to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he was.
That's, you know, what I'm saying that I think you and I would be as a parent.
Right, right.
That's a great example of what I was trying to articulate. I don't want people to think that we're saying that you can't have a kid if you're not a millionaire. That's not what I'm saying.
No, not at all.
And there is some argument when I am in these discussions online where people are like, your tax bracket shouldn't determine if you're eligible to be a parent. And to some degree, I agree. And some degree, I disagree.
Well, if that sounds confusing, let me just say raising a child is the most expensive, emotionally, most expensive and emotionally taxing thing.
Yeah,
you can do on this earth. Nothing else.
It's the greatest job in the world. Nothing. And I'm not talking about great, like what I'm talking about, the weight of what you have to do. It is the most important job in the world.
Nothing equates. You leave your child, you'll be under arrest. There are responsibilities that come with having a child, and it's not to be messed with. And I don't think some of us, don't look at it like that.
I agree. According to creditkarma.com, the expense of raising a kid at the moment,
$250,000.
$233,000 for a middle income married couple.
A year.
Per year.
A year. Yeah, there you go.
That's a lot of money. When the average salary in America right now ranges between 44 and 65K.
Yeah.
When people are moving in with people and shacking up just to keep monthly payments of rent afloat, when we barely have, what did I read yesterday? Less than 20% of Americans have either up to or more than $5,000 in any account, savings or emergency funds. The majority of Americans don't have a dime past what they get paycheck to paycheck.
No.
So my issue with this is not raising productive members of society. I say this now, I will say it all the time. I don't think it's fair to the world for you to raise children you can't afford, and then they become adults that want other people to help raise them.
You mean I can have babies and have them live off the fat of the
land?
No,
because you're a baby who was raised on the fat of the land. You become an adult that is now adult and child flesh that wants to be raised off the fat of the land. What? You become an adult with no education and no skills that you can contribute to society. One of the reasons we are failing as a society, and there are a million reasons. One of them is because we are not doing anything to develop people to continue a great society. This is what parenting is really about. Not to have a baby to put your childhood traumas on and your childhood discomforts and have them avenge the love that you didn't get, because that's what a lot of parents do. A lot of y'all mothers got sons because you don't got a man.
That's what I said earlier.
A lot of you guys got daughters because you out here wanting to be nice to a female for the first fucking time. You treat other women like shit that you can't get nothing from, especially if you can't fuck them. But you want to sit there and be a good guy and finally be good to someone who has breasts and a vagina. So now you're a girl dad. Shut the fuck up.
There are conversations about
now I'm riled up.
There's now? Now. Conversations.
I can't.
There are conversations about government being too overbearing. Government staying out the public's business.
You mean like
business.
China? Is it true?
You're picking it up once again.
Yeah, I know you.
Picking it the fuck up.
Pick it up. Put it down, boo. Put it down. My man.
This is out of control. China. China had a one baby rule at one point because they felt too many folks were living off the fat of the land.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong. I don't think the rule is currently in effect. I think they pulled it back. But when I first read about it, I was like,
Like, you mean to tell me that these people have to prove that they can afford it, afford the child financially?
It's called the one-child policy based on Google. And it says, China was planning an initiative between 1979 and 2015 to curb the country's population growth by restricting many families to a single child. So you had to go through a few tests and they had to basically do a forensic deep dive into your life to make sure that you could afford the children that you were having so they wouldn't be the government and community's responsibility, that they wouldn't be a grown adults in adult bodies but actually have childlike needs because they could not take care of themselves. Allegedly, as of now, you're allowed to have three children, but they definitely try to make sure that the rule of the government is aligned with the community needs.
Two rules. So solution-based, solution-driven, only two rules. One of those rules have to be that. I would imagine one of those rules has to be you having only one child and going forward so we can stop this having children without any financial means. Also, I'd like to suggest, if possible, don't know if it's going to happen, just a thought, maybe, just maybe, we have a law that states once a baby is born, immediately after the baby is born, a DNA test is conducted. Why, Danny? Why? Because we need to know who the baby daddy is, not who we want it to be.
Ooh, child, you preaching to the choir. Say it again. So after birth happens, you mean immediately when the baby comes out, or I think science is up to speed where can't we do that now during the pregnancy or no?
Ma'am, ladies and gentlemen listening, as early before as that baby goes, like, cut umbilical cord, cut. Oh, DNA.
Did
DNA.
You say umbilical cord?
That's not what it, okay. The cord.
The coochie cord.
As soon as the cord is cut, DNA, immediately. We add that, and amen, possibly yes, there'll be more a responsibility on both ends when it comes to bringing a child into this world. It saddened me, sidebar before we move on, it saddened me to hear Trippie Redd, who was a rapper, not familiar with his...
I'm about to say, who that?
Is not familiar with his catalog, but familiar with who he is as a rapper.
Okay.
And he was speaking to, I believe, DDG. And DDG asked him, because DDG obviously just had a baby.
Like, is that Chloe?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Chloe so, Bailey's baby daddy.
Is it Hallie or Chloe? It's Hallie's baby.
Which one?
It's Hallie's, not Chloe's.
The Little Mermaid.
There you go, Hallie's.
I don't know these girls.
God
like
bless.
That.
God bless.
Gorgeous face. God angelic bless. Voice.
Yeah. So.
Not the one that twerks everywhere.
Not. Damn. She said it. So it's her show. It's Stephanie Life.
I mean, I like the twerk. I'm just saying.
Trippie Redd said he thought he was a dad for like a month.
Okay.
And his mom said, get a DNA test. Get an ED DNA
okay,
test.
Okay, mama.
And the mom knew something. And the baby wasn't his.
Wow.
And he was like,
that girl would be ashamed
of
herself.
And he was like, how'd you feel? He was like, you could tell
he was crushed.
The defeat on his face.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, man, I was holding this baby, kissing this baby. I was taking this baby, pouring as he should.
That hurts me.
Pouring into the so-called child that
he thought was his.
So I say that to say
that's
this.
That's diabolical.
There's a lot that needs to be happen. Addressed in yeah. order for us to have some, solutions to this. Just have a baby and just, go with the flow and see what happens.
No,
and this,
we can't
third.
Keep it's, going with the flow. This is why we are getting nowhere. Going with the flow is leading us back down to hell. The bar for everything is in hell. It's under hell. Satan is like, I don't know what to do anymore because y'all don't even surpass me. Yeah, so Satan is lost and I don't know what to do other than have conversations such as this, solution-driven conversations, fun conversations that also, again, focus on the actual problem, the elephant in the room, and hopefully offer some solutions. And if no solution is offered here on the I Said No podcast, hopefully it provokes your thoughts so that you can have these discussions that offer solutions in your community. It's not always about being on a main stage where you're hitting 50,000, 100,000 people. We don't realize that our impact is local.
Reach one, teach one.
That's it. Pay it forward. In your houses, in your friend groups. You should not be friends with anyone who's not taking care of their children. Oh, so y'all want to get quiet on me. Should I put out the crickets? Because Yeah, I'm talking to you listening who going to brunch with a chick who don't take care of her children. Ooh. Going to brunch with a chick whose rent is not paid, but her kids don't have dental care. Yeah, I'm talking to the dude who always got money for boys trip and passport bro nonsense, but ain't seen his kid in I don't know how long and ain't contributed no child support and or contributed child support, but don't see their kid.
That's not my business.
Hey, it's community business, though.
That's not my business. If he hasn't seen his kid in 5 weeks, I'm just trying to see if he's going to make this next game. I don't...
Danny, if you don't shut the... Not up in here.
No, we're watching Jalen Brunson. Why are you talking about how you haven't seen your baby in 6 months, sir?
No, sir. You sir. See, now that's a character flaw. That's sir. Not a skill,
sir. I need you to pass me the wings.
I need you to get up out of here and go get your child. That baby should actually be on your lap right now at this damn game.
Why you keep bringing Johnny? He always talks about how he ain't shit.
No, see. If you have people around you who are not actively making sure that their responsibility as a parent is being taken care of, you to me are just as trash as that trash parent. I don't give a damn who you are. I don't give a damn how much money you got. I don't care if you out here on some, oh, that's not my responsibility. That's not my business. That is your business if that's your so-called friend. I'm not talking about people you don't care about, don't know about, don't hang out with. I'm not talking about people you pass by at work and just say, hey, how are you? Have a good weekend. I'm talking about people you actively invest your time with and in. There is no reason why you're sitting down around someone who is not parenting. You, my friend, need to collect and gather yourself because both of you ain't shit. Mm. I said what I said.
I have a question.
Sure. Let's wrap it up with this cue.
Question was, let me get to my question voice. Coach Stephanie, the life architect, how do you communicate with someone that talks to defend, but doesn't actually listen to, if I'm phrasing that question correctly? You know, you have people that, how do you communicate with people that do not listen to comprehend?
Mm-hmm. Listen to defend.
Versus listening
like
to defend.
Like their response is always just
yes.
Pausing to not listen and digest. They're pausing to wait their turn
yes.
So that they can go on the attack.
Exactly.
My answer to that is you don't.
Oh.
There is no way you can effectively communicate with someone who's committed to chaos. There is no way you can effectively communicate with someone whose ear is tuned to defense only. That means all they're ready to do is fight. They're never willing to wave the white flag. They're never willing to assess their character flaws. They're never willing to assess what skills they need to develop, which is obviously listening. And past listening, we need to talk about comprehension. Class, today's word, is comprehension. Mm. What the person is doing is not even receiving. Again, they're on freeze mode. So while you're talking and expressing your feelings, they're not listening and or comprehending.
I've been there.
What they're actually doing is waiting for the womp, 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 womp sound of you talking to stop.
There you go.
And while you're talking and they hear the womp, womp, they are scripting in their head.
I got something for her.
Mm-hmm. Their defense. So they're going through their memories museum to bring up everything you've ever said or done.
Which I dropped this drawer for.
Yeah. Ooh. They're waiting to like reverse Uno the whole time. They're waiting to run a Boston on you from my spades players. They're waiting to just drop all the books and shut you down. They're not even looking at your hand. They don't even care that you're a player as well. So I don't think you can, again, effectively communicate with someone who is committed to chaos and committed to always being the victim. What you're going to do is talk in circles. You're going to only ignite their defensive fire more because you're giving them what they want. They are going to find a way to twist everything you say and do into the villain speak because they need to be the defensive victim. So you have to make a better life choice to set healthy boundaries, to remove this person from your space. Now, let me say this loud and clear. We're going to end on this. Are you ready? Get the pen back out because we can have a whole nother episode. We will have a whole nother episode on this topic too. Healthy boundaries without consequences are just suggestions. If you set a boundary that does not follow with a healthy consequence, Meaning, example, Denny, if you are the type of person that we're referencing where I try to communicate with you and all you do is get defensive and you don't hear and or respect and are willing to take a step back and reflect, I will have to let you know that we can no longer engage in our relationship because I don't feel safe. I don't feel heard. And if you continue to communicate in this unhealthy way, we are going to have to part ways. I then have to actually part ways with you. I then have to actually block you because that's what y'all do now. That's what y'all think is communication, social media, right? So I then have to go and block you. This whole, I'm not blocking nobody because they need to see the glow up. Baby, you fooling your fucking self. This whole, like, I'm going to keep them around because they need to understand what they're missing. No, ma'am. No, sir. Oh, sweetie. Boo-boo kitty. What you're actually doing is keeping negativity in your space, which blocks all the room for the people who should be coming in. Because I can't come into a dirty room. I can't sleep in a dirty bed. So you and this person, this toxicity, this bed is dirty.
It should be a privilege to be in your space.
Hey. Say it again. In the accent.
Oh, damn it.
Always in the accent.
God. It should be a privilege. See, I can't.
You can't do it all.
Yeah, see, you can't. You can't.
You
put
are Ghanaian. You are failing.
You just can't put me in this.
Yeah,
space.
No. It should be a privilege to be in your space, and people should not be inviting you into dirty emotional spaces, dirty emotional rooms, dirty emotional beds, whatever analogy you want to use, dirty emotional tubs, kitchens, whatever it is that you want to use to get the concept of. Your boundary has to have a stick-to-itive consequence, or else it's just a suggestion. And guess what? People who are on the defense, they don't respond to suggestions. They respond to healthy consequences.
Period.
And with that, beautiful souls, Denny Blanco, can we clap it up for Denny one more time?
Appreciate you.
Can we clap it up
for
the one, the only?
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on. Always a good time. Always great to bounce some ideas off of you. And, you know, you invite me on because you respect my opinion, so thank you.
Oh, my man, my man, my man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Later, y'all. Love yourself always in, always. I said no. Thank you for listening. Peace.